Repeat after me. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. This is the takbir of Dhul Hijjah, and it's one of the forgotten sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Of course, we say it in the Ayyam al-Tashriq on the day of Eid and thereafter. But it was a sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, exemplified and demonstrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, about whom Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said that there is nobody among the Sahaba who follows the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as closely as Abdullah ibn Umar. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, from the moment the moon of Dhul Hijjah was sighted, used to go out in the market reciting this takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. And they said that the people of the marketplace, when they heard his sound, his voice, they would also repeat the talbiyah and they would raise their voices in the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. So to recite this takbir and to recite it loudly throughout these days is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us try to practice that. After every salah, normally when you are driving, doing whatever you are doing, keep on reciting this takbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. You don't have to shout, you can but say it in a voice which is audible. And inshallah, the brothers who listen to you, may they have the tawfiq also to repeat this, so that the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proclaimed as it is his right that it should be proclaimed. So very, very important to renew and revive the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters, today as we speak, the Hujjaj are standing in Arafah. Because today in Makkah, it is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, 1435. Here we are 2 days behind. So our Yawmul Arafah will be 2 days hence on Sunday. Before I go further in my khutbah, let me very quickly clarify this whole issue of Yawmul Arafah. Yawmul Arafah is the name that is given to the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. It does not mean the day on which people are standing in Arafah. It obviously means that also, because the people in will only stand in Arafah on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. But when you say Yawmul Arafah, it means the day, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. Right? So, for example, in Ramadan, when you say Yawmul Ashura, it is the 10th of Muharram. In Muharram, when you say Yawmul Ashura, it is the 10th of Muharram. It is not referring to any incident and so on and so forth. It is the 10th of Muharram. Similarly, this is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. It's called Yawmul Arafah. And the fadilat of the fasting on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah is for the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. No matter whether the Hujjaj are standing in Arafah on that day or not. Because we live in a world where we have different time zones. And somebody in Australia, it's already, you know, 10th of Dhul Hijjah for them because they have gone one day ahead. Or somebody in America or somewhere else is still only the 8th. So obviously there's no need to get involved in all those controversies and unnecessary arguments. The 9th of Dhul Hijjah is Yawmul Arafah, and fasting on that day is mustahab, and it's a means of great benefit for us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala forgives the sins of a person 1 year before and 1 year after for that 1 day of fasting. Of course, the best way is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which was to fast for all the 9 days. So you also don't get involved in whether it is this day or that day, because you are fasting on all the 9 days anyway. So from the first of Dhul Hijjah all through to the day of Eid, not including the day of Eid, this is the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He did not fast only on one day, he fasted on all the 9 days, and so did the Sahaba, and therefore it is important to revive that. Now as we are talking here, as I am speaking here and you are listening, may Allah bless you, the Hujjaj are standing in Arafah, their hands raised towards their Rabb, begging their Rabb for their needs and wants, placing before him their problems and fears and thanking him for his mercy and his blessings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to accept their dua and to include us in those duas. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept their hajj, which they have done only for his pleasure, and to reward them in keeping with his majesty and grace as he promised, with complete forgiveness for all their sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with them and never to be displeased. What reward can be better than that? My brothers and sisters, the Hajj is a very special ibadah that is completely symbolic of Islam and of the Muslim. I thought therefore it would be a good idea to remind ourselves of what it means, even though we have not gone for Hajj this year. Because the Hajj is about being Muslim, about living Islam and carrying forward the legacy of honor of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I want to talk to you about three lessons from Hajj, inshallah. The first lesson from Hajj is the lesson of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, expressed through unquestioning obedience to His ahkam, to His orders. The first lesson of Hajj is the lesson of love. The love of Allah. The love of Allah, of feeling it and expressing it. The love of Allah that makes the slave yearn to meet Allah. The love of Allah which can only be expressed through complete and unquestioning obedience to His wishes and commands, no matter what those may be. The Hajj is a reminder that obedience means to do what you are commanded by Allah, without question, whether you consider it to be logical or not, whether you like it or not, whether it is comfortable or not, whether it is appreciated by others or not. Love is to do what the beloved wants, no matter what others may think. The Hajj exemplifies this. It exemplifies the Haji's obedience without question. The arkan, the pillars of Hajj, are five. The first is the ihram, the second is the sa'i, the third is the waqaf in Arafah, the staying in Arafah, the fourth is the shaving of the head, and the five is tawaful ifadah. The Hajj begins with the wearing of the ihram, a garment that is neither graceful nor comfortable. Yet it is a condition of Hajj without which the Hajj is not valid. Sa'i is what Hajar alayhi salam did as she was searching for support and sustenance for herself and for her infant son. There is no logical reason for a Haji to do it today, but it is a condition and pillar of Hajj. And the Haji does it in remembrance of our mother and the effort she made. It reminds us also that not only with effort comes the help of Allah, but that the help of Allah still comes from sources we cannot even imagine. The help didn't come because of her running. The help came because Allah was pleased with that running. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent Jibreel alayhi salam to dig up the well of Zamzam. Then is the third condition, which is the staying of Arafah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu told us to make Hajj to His house. But on the day of Hajj, we are told to stay in Arafah, without which the Hajj is not valid. No argument. We do it. The reward is the acceptance of all du'as. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu proudly draws the attention of the malaika, who are the muqarrabun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the hujjaj standing in the hot sun in Arafah, begging and pleading for the mercy of Allah. And Allah praises them and announces His forgiveness for them. Remember also that though Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the slave is closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sujood, in Arafah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua standing up with his hands raised. And we make dua standing up with our hands raised, not in sujood. Why? Same reason. Because this pleases Allah. The fourth condition is shaving of the head or cutting of the hair, and the shaving being preferred far above the cutting or shortening of the hair for men. And the last condition is tawaful ifadah, which is done in ordinary clothes which you put on after shaving your head. Same answer to all questions. Why do it? What is the logic? The logic is that it pleases the beloved. It is logical to do whatever it takes to please the beloved. To do the illogical to please the beloved is the ultimate proof of logic. The second lesson from Hajj. Hajj is the spirit and essence of ittiba of the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is therefore important for us to remember that the ultimate lesson in ittiba of the sunnah is the Hajj. The entire Hajj is sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, "Qudu anni manasikakum." He said, "Take your manasik, your rituals of Hajj, from me." Manasik is translated as sacrifices, and it is the mercy and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all the rituals of Hajj are considered to be sacrifices in the path of Allah. Sa'id bin Mansur Al-Marwazi, the great Muhaddith who wrote his Sunan and who Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal praised a great deal. He said, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he is quoting the Hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ibrahim alayhi salam made the dua. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا وجعلنا مسلمين لك ومن ذريتنا أمة مسلمة لك وارنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم O our Rabb, make us submissive to you. And of our offspring make a nation submissive to you. And show us your manasik, the rituals of Hajj and Umrah. And accept our repentance. Truly you are the one who accepts repentance. And you are the most merciful. And Ibrahim alayhi salam made this dua. Imagine, who is making this dua? He's asking for forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not after doing disobedience. He's asking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after constructing the Kaaba. After asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can I please you? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, and this hadith which is narrated and which is in the Sunan of Sa'id bin Mansur, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel alayhi salam then came down and took him, Ibrahim alayhi salam, to the house and said, raise its foundations. Ibrahim alayhi salam raised the house's foundations and completed the building. Jibreel alayhi salam then held the hand of Ibrahim alayhi salam and led him to As-Safa and said, this is among the rituals of Hajj. He then took him to Al-Marwa and said, this is among the rituals of Hajj. He then took him to Mina until when they reached the Aqaba, they found Iblis standing next to a tree. Jibreel alayhi salam said to him, say Allahu Akbar and throw stones and pebbles at him. Ibrahim alayhi salam said Allahu Akbar and threw pebbles at Iblis. Iblis moved to the middle Jamrah. And when Jibreel and Ibrahim alayhi salam passed by him, Jibreel said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, say takbir and throw at him. And Ibrahim alayhi salam threw at him. And he said takbir. The devious Iblis sought to add some evil actions to the rituals of Hajj, but he was unable to succeed. Jibreel alayhi salam then took Ibrahim alayhi salam's hand and led him to Al-Mashar al-Haram. And the translation or meaning of Al-Mashar al-Haram is disputed. And there are several meanings given to that. But the meaning that seems closest is the place of Muzdalifah, which is the valley, the narrow place through which you come. And he showed him the Al-Mashar al-Haram and he took him to Arafat. And he said, Arafta, have you understood? And he asked him three times. And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Araftu, I have understood. My brothers and sisters, this is the narration of the rituals of Hajj from the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a very kind-hearted person and he always thought of others. And therefore, when this came to him, Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasulam minhum yatulu alayhim ayatika wa yu'allimuhumul kitaba wal hikmah wa yuzakkihim innaka antal azizul hakim. Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua and he said, Oh our Rabb, send amongst them a messenger of their own who will recite unto them your ayat. And who will instruct them in the book, the Quran, and who will purify them. Verily and truly, you are the mighty and the wise. Imagine, these were the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each one of them is worthy of study. Each one of them, their lives are worthy of study and of taking lessons from them. Ibrahim alayhi salam is being given the ultimate honor of constructing the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes dua, and as a result of his dua, Jibreel alayhi salam comes. Takes him by the hand and shows him the manasik of Hajj. As far as Ibrahim alayhi salam was concerned, that's it. That's it, alhamdulillah. He reached the position and magnificence and glory of being called the Khalil of Allah. Why does he have to be concerned about nations unborn? He's not asking the dua for his son. Send among them, who is them? Nations unborn. We like to talk about vision. Eh? We like to talk about concern for others. Who can match this vision of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Wallah alam, maybe 4,000 years or 5,000 years ago. And Allah will keep it going till the day of judgment when it is His wish. as long as he needs to and as long as he wants to keep it going. So Ibrahim alayhi salam made this dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this dua. Every dua of Allah subhanahu of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, this is what he asked, this is what I gave. This is what he asked, this is what I gave. And remember, this deen is a deen that does not close, the doors are not closed with anybody. The Rabb who accepted dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam is the same Rabb that you and I worship. The hands of the one who is asking have changed, but the hands of the one who gives have not changed. It's up to us what we want to ask. If it's up to us to learn how to take. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, believe me, allow me to convince you that there is no taking from this Rabb without obeying him. Stop fooling yourself. Stop allowing others to fool you. There is no taking from the treasures of Allah without obedience to Allah. The only dua from the disobedient which is accepted in spite of disobedience is tawbah. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not close that door. And he does not say, I will not accept any dua from those who disobey me. Tawbah, and the other dua that is accepted even from those who disobey, even from those who deny Allah, is the dua they make against an oppressor, even if the oppressor is Muslim. Ajib, the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody who is a kafir, somebody who has denied Allah, somebody who is a mushrik, who makes shirk, the thing that Allah dislikes the most, even his dua Allah will accept against a Muslim, against an oppressor, even if the oppressor is Muslim. So fear the dua of the oppressed, no matter who he or she is. Allah has not given us the right to oppress others, no matter who those others are. So Ibrahim alayhi salam made this dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتُلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al Imran, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred a great favor and ni'mah on the believers when he sent among them a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from amongst themselves, reciting unto them his ayat and purifying them internally and externally and instructing them in the book, the Quran, and al-hikmah, the application of those ahkam, while before that they had been in manifest error. The only thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed in the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam is the sequence of in which he asked. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. He said, Yatlu alayhim ayatika wa yuallimuhumul kitaba wal hikma wa yuzakkihim. He said, reciting unto them your ayat, teaching them the kitab and teaching them the application of those ayat, and purifying them. So this was the sequence that Ibrahim alayhi salam asked this dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him all the things, but he changed the sequence because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows which is the best way of communicating. Ibrahim alayhi salam asked to the extent of his knowledge, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him better than what he asked him. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Yatlu alayhim ayatihi, recite the ayat, wa yuzakkihim, purify them to receive the kalam of Allah, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, then teach the kalam of Allah, explain those ayat, وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and then demonstrate how they are to be applied. Inform, prepare, teach, demonstrate. The sequence of teaching and learning as prescribed in the Quran. Tell them what the hukum is. أَقِيمُ السَّلَاةِ, Allah said establish salah. And what does the believer, what does he say? He said, Sami'na wa atana. Allah said, establish salah, I am ready. So then what to do? Prepare for salah. How do you prepare for salah? Go make wudu, go make ghusl. clean your clothes, clean your heart, tazkiyatun nafs, tarbiyatul akhlaq, cleanliness of the place, yuzakkihim, prepare them. Because without preparation, my brothers and sisters, learning and teaching in Islam is like agriculture. You can have the best seed in the world, but if you throw the seed onto barren land, it will not germinate. If you throw the seed on a rock, it will not germinate. You can have the best seed in the world, but what is the first thing you do? You get the seed. And once you have the seed in your hand, you don't plant it. You first prepare the soil. You dig it and you prepare the soil and you remove all the rocks and the brambles and the weeds. And you fertilize the soil and you prepare the soil. And when the soil is prepared, what do? You plant the seed. You sow the seed. And then what do? You water the seed. That is the sequence of Da'watul Islam, the Kitab of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then prepare the soil, make friends with the people, be nice to the people, communicate with the people, open your hearts to the people, open their hearts to Islam. And when they are ready to receive, then you plant the seed. Tell them about the Kitab of Allah. Tell them about Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then the watering which we forget. We do all of this. We do all of this at various levels of perfection. But then we forget the ultimate thing. Believe me, the best seed in the world, planted in the best prepared soil, will die if it does not get water. It will not germinate. Or if it germinates, it will shrivel. It needs the water. What is that water? What is the water of the seed of the Da'wat of Allah? Of the Da'i? What is the water of the seed? The water with which the Da'i waters the seed. What is that water? The tears from the eyes, standing in tahajjud. This was the way of the Anbiya alayhimus salam. Work during the day, stand during the night. Stand during the night and cry, water the seed, name by name, name by name. Yalla, I did what I could do. And that also by your hikmah, by your khudrat, by your taqat, by your power, by your strength, by your irada. But the hearts of the people are in your hand. Ya Allah, I cannot change them. Oh Allah, change the hearts. Change the hearts. Make the dua. Bring power into the dua. Ya Allah, change the hearts. Oh Allah, give because you told us you will give. Give because you do not go against your promise. Watering the seed. Yuzakkihim. Purify yourself. Then, yuallimuhumul kitab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the word. Aqimus salah. I have prepared myself. I have come now in the presence of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, now what shall I do? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. He said, pray as you see me pray. He taught them, what is the salah? What is the salah? How does it begin? How does it continue? What is ruku? What is sujood? What is to be recited? What are the arkan of salah without which salah is invalid? What are not the arkan of salah but still they should be recited for the beautification of the salah? Where you should make dua? What you must do? After he taught them all that, he said, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, because his Rabb said, yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yuallimuhumul kitaba wal hikmah. Demonstrate. And he demonstrated and he said, I am demonstrating. Watch me and do what I do. Watching him and doing what he is doing is the sunnah. That is our salah, without which Islam is invalid. Now brothers and sisters, Islam came and the Hajj came to remind us of this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant his Khalil Ibrahim alayhi salam the highest stations in Jannah. Not only do we owe the Hajj to him, but also we owe the greatest blessing of Allah, which Allah himself called his blessing, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our Nabi. And we as the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore we as the Millat of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Understand the connections. Understand the lineage. Our lineage doesn't come from tribalism. Our lineage doesn't come from bloodlines. Our lineage comes from Iman. Ours is a brotherhood of faith It is not a brotherhood of color, it is not a brotherhood of race or nationality, it is a brotherhood of faith. Every Muslim is a brother of another Muslim. The Hajj, therefore, my brothers and sisters, is the ittiba of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who followed what he received from Allah as the manasik of Hajj, and he taught them to his sahaba. To do what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did is ibadah. Its name is Hajj, and its reward is complete forgiveness from all sins and Jannah inshallah. Those who deny the sunnah and the ahadith of Rasulullah should reflect on the manasik of Hajj and ask themselves how they can perform them if they don't want to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah. The Hajj is a lesson in the importance and barakah of following the sunnah also for all of us, especially when it comes to one or the other of the sunnah that we find within quotes difficult to do because it goes against our shaitani nafs. Let us remind ourselves what will be important when we are dying: the pleasure of Allah or the pleasure of all those who we spend our whole lives trying to please at the expense of pleasing Allah. If you don't believe me, go to somebody who is in their last moments of life, and if they can still talk to you, ask them. Ask them, what is important for you now? What is important for you now? All those ostentatious, nonsensical wedding functions you used to attend, is that important? Or is the forgiveness of Allah important? What is important for you now? This friend and that friend and that friend who used to lead you astray and you went behind them like a sheep to the slaughterhouse? Is that important? Or is the pleasure of Allah important? Ask them. Because one day, that moment is going to come on you and it will come on me. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see the reality of who we are and what we are. As you know, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, I would like to thank you on my behalf and on the behalf of all my family for praying for my mother who passed away while I was away. Jazakumullahu khairan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your du'as and give her Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghayri hisab, inshallah. After I came back, I went to her grave. And what did I see? I saw a mound of earth. That's it. Just a heap of sand. She lived for 83 years. She brought up 5 children. I hope those children are a source of benefit for her where she is now. She taught me to read the Quran. She taught my father to read the Quran. My father qualified as a medical doctor. Until he finished his medicine, until he married my mother, he could not read the Quran. My mother taught him to read the Quran. And alhamdulillah, she was a very good mother. But at the end of the 83 years, what is left is a heap of sand. What do you think will be left when you die? What do I think will be left when I die? What was left when the pharaohs died? What was left when Ramesses IV and Tutankhamen and all those pharaohs, when they died, what was left? A larger heap of sand. Because they've had the money to pile up that heap of sand. So they piled it up and we call them the pyramids. But what are the pyramids? Heap of sand. Turab. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, let us not forget where we came from. And let us not forget that we were sent here to go back there. Let us not compromise that. Let us not get lost in this world, forgetting where we came from, forgetting what we were sent to do, and forgetting that we were sent to come back there. Let us not do things which will close that door of return. Let us have the right to return. We have the right to return. Let us not compromise that right to return. And let us not do things where, when we go to that door, the door is shut in our face. And the malaika say, "We don't know who you are, get out." The third lesson from Hajj is that the Muslim is the one who responds to the call of Allah Jalla Jalalu. The Muslim is the one who submits and who responds to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. Once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he said, إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين. When his Rabb said to him, submit, he said, I have submitted myself to Rabbul Alameen. No argument, no question, no asking for time. Allah said, Aslim. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Aslamtu li Rabbil Alameen. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, Islam is submission. The Muslim is the one who responds to the call of Allah and submits his will to the will of Allah. Everything in Islam reinforces this. We just completed the month of Ramadan 2 months ago, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He made fasting a means of making us the people of taqwa. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. What is fasting? Fasting is obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to an order where the halal is made haram. Why? Because it is the will of Allah. No other reason. Accepting, not just accepting, but welcoming and very happily accepting and looking forward to it, starvation and thirst. Can you imagine? You're looking forward to starvation, looking forward to thirst, looking forward to tiring yourself standing in the night worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Inshallah, the masajid will bear witness to the number of people who came and stood in Taraweeh and who stood in Qiyam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them forget the time which happens after the first of Shawwal. And let them only remember that time of Ramadan. And if Allah asks the masjid, how many people were there? The masjid says, Allah, whole masjid used to be full. And Allah will say, what happened after in Shawwal? Ya Allah, I forgot. May Allah give us tawfiq. What will the masjid say? The day of Eid for us is the day of mourning and sadness for the masjid. Because the masjid knows it will become empty. My brothers and sisters, how many times am I and how many times are the khatibs of the world going to say this stuff again and again and again like broken records? How many times? How many times do you want to hear this? The Muslim is the one who responds to the call of Allah. I was in Australia recently, and somebody was talking about the time they lived in this or that is Muslim country, and they said, MashaAllah, you know, the Salatul Fajr, Adhan, you can hear it for 20 minutes all around, Adhan after Adhan after Adhan. I said, MashaAllah, beautiful, my brother. And then what did you do? You heard the Adhan for 20 minutes, then what did you do? Went back to sleep. Say, MashaAllah, what a beautiful place. Go back to sleep. Ready? You hear the Adhan for 20 minutes, and if that cannot take you out of your bed into the masjid, I'm not talking about praying at home. The Muazzin is not saying get up and pray at home. He's saying come to the masjid. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. Then what is the good of this Adhan? Where is the Muslim? Where is the submission? Where is the response to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? My brothers and sisters, the Hajj comes to remind us of this. So when the time for Hajj comes, what does the Muslim do? He says, Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. Allah says, He says, O Allah, I am here at your service, O Allah. I am here at your service, O Allah. I am here to obey you. You have no partners. La sharika lak. To you alone is all praise and all bounty. And yours alone is the sovereignty. And you have no partners. The Hajj is the response. A Muslim is the one who responds. A Muslim is not the one who only responds when he is in Hajj. A Muslim is the one who responds. His whole life is responding to the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, the Hajj reminds us that this obedience and submission is not restricted to the Hajj alone, but is to be carried forward for the rest of our lives. It is a reminder to all of us who have not gone for Hajj this year that submission and obedience, responding to the call of Allah, is not for the Hujjaj alone. It is for all Muslims, for all of us. Every Muslim through his speech and his actions always says, Allahumma labbaik. labbaik allahumma labbaik in his whole life, and the reward for that is forgiveness and jannah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the hajj of the hujjaj. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your fasting of those who are fasting. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your ibadat and all your du'as. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you, in keeping with his majesty and grace, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you what you asked, and to give you in excess and in over and above that, from his generosity and from his grace, as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you completely and totally obedient to him jalla jalaluhu, and on the sunnah of his Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without exception. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the fear of people from your hearts, to remove the desire to please people from your hearts, and to fill your hearts with the desire to please only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.